I like to see everybody. Move it right over here. Thank you. Especially from you, that's pretty cool. Dan has had vision opportunities, so it's good to hear them things. All the younger kids that would like to go with Donna, this is a great time to check out. No, Jane, you have to stay. You can't. She's been asking to hear my sermons ahead of time to make sure I get a little practice in, but she hasn't heard this one. Before we go any farther, though, I'd like to ask for you to pray with me over this sermon and the words to be spoken. Dear Heavenly Father, may the studying and the words be spoken be what you would like the body to hear. And may these words make a difference. The Word, the Bible, may it make a difference in our lives and change us. May it bring us closer to you. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. I have two versions of my sermon, and I can see I need the shorter version today because we've had a great time of share and prayer. And I'm really glad that we have that ability. I see some people are out there excited. Yes, it's the five-minute sermon. I apologize. It went from 45 minutes to half an hour, so okay, it'll be better. But I do have the question today's sermon is, why me, Lord? Some of the songs we heard today was kind of, why me, Lord? And looking at God is in control. But why is it that our car doesn't work? In fact, why did Vicky's key not work? That was like, probably at the time she figured out, it was like, duh, the wrong key. And why don't we have enough money at the end of the month? We always have plenty of month, but not enough money. And why am I unhappy sometimes? Why don't things really work for me? Why? Sometimes we ask all these questions and we're not very happy, the why. But I have a small video for us to look at, just a very small clip. And look at one of them. One of the people we know are very positive. And the other individual is kind of having a pity party. So let's see what the video has to say.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. What's with the big boy clothes?
Oh, this, yeah, I just got back from a meeting, so.
Why? Why were you at a meeting?
Yeah, I do work stuff, too. Come on, I've been running Microsoft Office for years.
Microsoft Office, work stuff. Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, I knew this day would come.
PC.
Okay, I just need to sit down. Oh, wow.
There's plenty of work out there for both of us. I don't know why you're acting like this.
Why go on? Just let me lie here and depreciate.
Now, I'm not endorsing Mac, okay? But I'm looking at it as that little commercial is pretty real in our lives. Oh, why me? I might as well just lay down and stop. And we have been blessed. If you are looking at wanting to become part of a Sunday school, here's the plug for Sunday schools. At 9:30, Peggy has done a great job in teaching Job. She did such a good job of teaching Job. That's my sermon today. I'm stealing Peggy's class and bringing it to you. Okay? And if you want the rest of the story, you're going to have to go to Peggy's Sunday school. But we're looking at God has prepared each and every one of us for a purpose. But Satan wants to all come and interfere with us. He wants us and persuade us that we really don't know and that we can't do it. Let me tell you a story that happened a long time ago. Jesus, God, came to the world, and the Holy Spirit was hovering around the world. That's when the Genesis said, it's in the beginning. They're there. And a crowd gathered together of angels, and all of a sudden, at one time, they got quiet. Can you just imagine this? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels. And it got quiet. And a whisper came out from one of the angels. It's him. I can't believe he's here. Another whispered, wow. He's as beautiful as he was. His face is just a little different. As Satan walks up, right in front. Suddenly a bright flash, and Gabriel is standing there and in front of Satan. And all of a sudden Gabriel says, just stands there. And all of a sudden Satan says to Gabriel, "Hello, Gabriel," because they know each other. Jesus tells Gabriel to stand to the side, and he does. And Satan speaks, "I am here, for Adam ate the apple, and I have the right to be here." And Gabriel turns and looks to God in confusion. And Jesus says, "It's okay. Satan has entered the world." And God already knew what Satan was doing. And God spoke to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan replies, "I have walked the world and I walked the earth. I am here to show you that they really don't love you." And Satan answers, "Well, give me a servant to look after, and I will take him." From that one time on earth, he's looking to find somebody to blame. God chose Job. He was chosen. And he's actually said, "Satan, you can do whatever you want to that individual, but you cannot touch him. You can do whatever you want." And the Lord said, "Behold, Satan, you hold the power over Job." Right then, Satan immediately went to work. And he began causing problems in Job's life. We listen to all of a sudden tragedy after tragedy Job has. The sheep, the camels, the livestock, the servants are all dead. And then another tragedy happens. He finds out that all of his kids are dead. All 10 of his children are passed away. I mean, just reading the story, you almost want to just rip your own clothes and just say, "How can that be? What purpose does it serve?" As Job takes each tragedy, he works through it. But Satan is just keeps coming on the scene with Job and says, "Just curse God, give me the win. Just curse God and it'll be all over." Satan was there the whole time, but you know what? Job, being faithful, replies, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Some of us have really had sufferings. Can we really always say Lord is number one in our lives? Some of us have suffered losing a job. Some of us have been without a job a long time. Some of us maybe have a degenerative disease and that it's non-curable. The pain is always there. Some of us may have a terminal illness or have somebody in our family with a terminal illness. Some of us may have children that are divorcing, or we might be children of divorces. Our own marriages can be having problems. I guess the question is the why. And maybe we've lost loved ones or multiple losses in the same year. This is so much to take in. Why, Lord? Why? Job is asking that at different times also. But Job has a good reply here in Job 19:25 through 27. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." He knew this to his heart. "I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job stood strong. In our lives, we see tragedy and destruction happen. Do we really know God's in control? When we're sick, do we really know God's in control? Do we really give our lives up? Well, Satan, this wasn't enough. He wanted more. As he rolled up his sleeves, he had enough gall to walk again in the throne of God and come up there. And all of a sudden, Gabriel blocked him again. Just because Gabriel loves the Lord. And Jesus says, "Stand back, Gabriel." And the chamber got heavenly quiet. And all of a sudden, Satan speaks again and says, "I want more." But can you just appear and watch the angels? Watch the angels. As they've been watching this whole time, Job being persecuted. Can you just hear the angels cheering? "Good job, Job. You didn't fall. You didn't give in. All these tragedies happened and you stood strong. Your character is strong." But once again, Satan pushes forward and says to God, "Yeah, I see your servant here, and he has been strong and faithful. And he is blameless and he is upright. But give me his flesh. Give me his flesh, and I bet you he will turn from you." So Satan tries this new angle of going after the flesh. And God, knowing everything and wise as he is, understands the purpose greater than we do. And he says, "Okay, Satan, you can have the power over him and his body, but you do not have the right to kill him." Very blunt. He's given a direction. That shows us right there, when God gives the direction to Satan, God is in control. Don't forget that. He is in control. Satan is gone and does his bidding. We read on in Job. Just imagine the body of Job. He's half naked, unable to wear clothes because the pain is so great. Has any of us ever cut our finger and had a blister, or a nail that's kind of ripped a little bit, or a good bruise that your brother gave you? Not picking on you, John, but you give good bruises. It hurts. But that's just one small part of our body. Job hurt so bad that he had boils and open blisters, and they were so bad that they oozed pus. And in Job 7, it even tells us that there was worms in his sores as he was in bed. Just think of that persecution. And think of the physical pain. How the hurt and the pain is there. I'm going to pull you off to another little story, thinking about pain. I know a gentleman that fell out of a tree. He was trimming a tree, trying to do his own job, and fell out of the tree. Sometimes you should leave that to professional. We have one in the church here. If you need somebody, we have somebody who can professionally do it. But this man thought he could really handle anything. And when he fell out of the tree, he broke a rib and broke his back. And as he was in agony and having a hard time grabbing his breath, they loaded him in the back of a truck to rush him to the hospital. And as he's screaming and crying out and can't get air and wants to just give up, my mom said to Mark, her husband, "Shut up and bear it, because you're not going to die on me." Okay? You look at that. The pain is there. The suffering is there. The will to give up. How many of us are going through pain and suffering? And we just have sometimes the will to give up. Bring it to the Lord. He does not want us to give up. So I'm not surprised to see that there is suffering in the world. And we've seen Job suffering. Why? As we look at Job, it explains, the book tells us so much. And it gives us a little bit more of the story, the why. He had some great people that came onto the scene to help him. Now all of us men that are married are blessed to have a wife. And our wife loves us. And you look at this. Job's wife. She knew him. She knew his character. He was a man of good character. And if you read Job and you look at Job, she questions the why. And from her answer, you look at this. Her why was that God is not fair. That God isn't fair. And just curse God and die. Now, she might have been at the end of her wits, because remember, her 10 children died as well. And she's watching the pain and suffering, and this man just barely alive. Just curse God and die. He's not fair. But that's not the right story. And Job had some other friends come on the scene. And you know what? These friends are very wise. Because in the beginning, they kept their mouths closed. And as a pastor, I have seen where good people mean good things and say some stupid things at the wrong time. Well, his friends start to speak. In the big part of Job, his friends are speaking. In fact, that's a section I would like to call Job's Loser Friends. Because they bring him down the wrong road. They're telling him that, Job, you have to have sin in your life. You just might not know it. Job, you are a loser. Job, you have a sinful life, because otherwise God wouldn't be doing this to you. Okay. I get it. He's to repent, right? But he's righteous. God told us he is righteous. So Job responds to them, "You miserable comforters, I needed help and you guys are ripping me apart. You're not comforting me. I need to talk to God. This has to be a misunderstanding. He got the wrong address. It should be my neighbor that this is happening to, not me." But God did have the right person. I believe the book of Job was to help us understand. Understand hard times. Understand perseverance. Help us understand. Even in James it tells us, our trials and tribulations should be jubilee because it's building our character. I have another story to think about on a side note. That's what attention deficit disorder does. It gives you some great side notes. And on a sidebar, we're looking at a pastor that sends his daughter on a missions trip. And that missions trip, she is thrown through the windshield and the bus crushes her and she dies. And on that trip, I got a question. Whose sin is it? Did it happen because of the sin of the father? Or did it happen because of the sin of the daughter? But Job shows us it's neither. Neither have to sin. As Job challenges God and talks with God and finally has a chance to speak with him, God tells him, "I am God. I am in control." And that takes me into a whole other area that can have a whole other sermon, so that you don't have to listen to me anymore, about the potter and the clay. Who should be telling who what to do? He is the potter. We are the clay. We should be honored to be used in however he wants to use us. But wait a minute. Here we're looking here. That as Job talked with God, he declared that he was not right. And that when he argued with God, he heard that God is in control. And that when he seen God and he spoke with him, he realized he shouldn't be questioning as deeply he was. And Job repented. Whoa. Did I say Job just repented? The Bible tells us that he did. But I thought he was righteous and not wrong with God. But he did repent. He repented for thinking he, the potter, or the pot, should tell the potter what to do. Or even question sometimes why. Kind of like the pastor questioning why the bus had to crush his daughter. The whys we have in our lives. Kind of like right now. Why? Why did 100,000 people die in Japan? Why do I feel sometimes I might have a target on my back? Why is it that an atheist who curses God could win the Nobel Peace Prize? And looking at also and wondering why the truth isn't always the truth. The whys are what gets you in trouble. Job is okay to ask the why, and he repented because it wasn't about the why and the understanding. Job repented Because he was persecuted to question and thought he had the authority to ask it. Sometimes we just have to say, I'm sorry, God. I don't need to know the why. I just need to be faithful through the why. I don't need to know the why because, Lord, I know you are in control. I don't need to know why, Lord, I have this pain. I don't need to know why. You are in control. In fact, Job 19:25 through 27, let's read it again now that we've thought about this. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end He will stand upon the earth. We see this in Revelations that we know the Lord is going to be in control of all things. We've seen that the Lord was in control of Satan. We've seen that God is over everything. Let's go on to verse 26. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. We see God through everyday things. We see people doing things and caring for things, and God's working through individuals. Are you using the gifts for the Lord? Is God working through you? We're going to be reunited with Him in heaven. The Word tells us that. Actually, in verse 27, it says, I myself will see Him with my own eyes. We will be in the presence of the Lord. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job trusted the Lord. Job's writings in this Bible are our guidance. Psalms 46:10. I believe can be written about the same time as Job is being written. I went and looked back and they're kind of overlapping in that area. Now it's a big long time span there, but look at this. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What God is trying to tell us, trust Him. And whatever you're going through, trust Him. But Pastor John, it's not that easy. You don't understand what I'm going through. My wife helps me quite a bit. If you know me a little bit, I can kind of be a talker and a boaster. I'm kind of proud sometimes. Nothing more proud than a man that takes his wife, just humbles him down a little bit. And God sent my wife to humble me quite often. And if it's not my wife, now the elders are doing a great job of it too, guys. But I'm looking at, sometimes do we need to look at knowing God's in control and knowing that He's really there. Do we trust God when things go south and we don't have enough finances? Do we truly trust God when our disabilities? Do we truly trust God when we need to? We see at the end of Job's life that he did trust God and that he was faithful. He got everything double back. He had more animals, more buildings, more everything. Things that of this world don't matter. But blessings were given back to him. Now, he wasn't given double his children back. And that could be because of dirty diapers. He didn't want any more dirty diapers. Being a little bit older, 10 more kids is plenty enough. But think about this. Did he really lose his first 10 children? I've read Job over and over and over. I did not like the book of Job when I was younger. It didn't make any sense. In fact, when John Jr. was about 3 or 4 years old, I was reading through Job and I was angry with the Word because he lost his first 10 kids. You could not replace any one of my children. In fact, Butch, you could not. You could say it right now. You can replace your grandchild, couldn't you, with another child? You can't. But God didn't take His children away for good. Because in the beginning of Job, you read, there's burnt offerings. Every one of Job's kids were in righteous with God. When God steps into heaven, when Job steps into heaven with God, he is going to have a family of 20 kids up there. What a reunion. So let's look, what are the takeaways today? One of the things that we learned is that we need to trust God as God and He is in control. And the number one thing is when our friends are suffering, be there. But be quiet. Be there and care for them. But you don't have to give an opinion, because God does not need us to give our opinion of what could be going on. He can do that. The second thing we should be looking at is that when we're comforting our friends, don't try to explain anything. God is God. Let them be there. And the third thing is okay to ask why. It is okay to ask God, why is my sight not as good as it should be? He may answer you that it's given you abilities to do other things. Because Dan might be able to speak to people that are completely blind and be able to relate to them in a way that they could never relate otherwise. Think about the things that you've went through may give you abilities to do things others might not do. So it's okay to ask the why. But when you ask the why, to try to find the understanding, it's okay maybe not to understand it. And God doesn't have to give you the why. And I also look at it as when you're hurting, and you understand that we don't understand the why. King David had an affair with Bathsheba. What a humongous sins that happened all along there. And along with them sins, he committed murder. And you're just thinking that there is no value in this king anymore, right? I mean, he committed adultery, murder, and who knows how many other lying sins along the way. But he asked for redemption. And through that redemption, it happened. The line of Jesus came through him later in the lineage. So every one of us have the ability to go back to God and say, I'm sorry that I asked you the why too much, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful. God is using every one of us. Are you thankful for even the hard times? In James, it says we should be looking at proud and thankful for the hard times because it's building character in us. People that really get to know me personally, like my family and the elders, and some of the people that have seen me really struggle, like last week I really struggled as I preached, know that I have a disability. Reading comes extremely hard. I'm actually certified as not crazy, just disabled. But reading comes hard. Should I ask God, why did you do this to me? No. I should thank God. Because through this, I have a different character than I would without it. So my question to you is, where are you at your life? Are you asking God why? That's good. But don't stop there. Like Job, go on and take the why and do something with it. Use it to bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's my thought for you today, is take the why and put it into action. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to sometimes look at the whys. And may we take the struggle that Satan might try to put in our place, and things that Satan uses for evil, may you use for good. May you use things that Satan wants to throw in our path and discourage us and make us lie down on the ground like that man did on the video and give up. May we not give up. May we listen to our brothers and sisters and stand up in the Lord and take the abilities and skills that you've given us and use them to bring honor and glory to you, Lord. May this last song bring honor and glory to you, Lord. And may this next week we make a difference in our lives. And every time we feel about, why me, Lord? Think about, thank you, God. And may I step out in faith and serve you. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.